I'm not sure what is more difficult to believe, that what had been bread, what had been wine, are changed into the living Christ, or believe that a man, human like ourselves, has the authority from God to tell the whole world what they must believe and how they must obey the laws of God. In Rochester, New York, later in spring, I'm giving a lecture commemorating the 25th anniversary of Humanae Vitae. 25 years, 68 to 93, within a year of Humanae Vitae's publication, one conference of bishops after another had meetings, long drawn out conferences, sitting in judgment on Pope Paul VI's declaration that contraception is a grave sin. If somebody would remind me, on April the 25th, I'd like to bring, just to show you. I don't believe I did I? A book full of the bishops throughout the world sitting in judgment on the Vicar of Christ. My hope in this lecture, and I mean it, is to wake us all up having accepted Peter's profession of faith as both the Messiah and the Son of God, Christ then made the promise that he was to fulfill only after his resurrection from the dead. Jesus had just called him Simon. And, really, Simon, son of Jonah, translated of English, would read, Simon Johnson, son of John. Then Christ proceeded to change Simon's name from Simon, his family name. He told him, you are Peter. To see that in the Basilica of St. Peter's in Rome, to ask Petrus. And those of you who have been in Rome by now know how worn out the bronze foot of Simon Peter is, worn out by now with the millions of kisses of believing Catholics professing their faith. Having given Simon his new name, the Rock, Jesus went on to declare what would be Peter's, that is the Rock's, role in the church that Christ was founding. The word founding in the context we are examining is much deeper than most people give it. There is the sense in which a founder is one who starts. Founder of any organization, we commonly say, is the one, well, who first founded whatever he founded. But even on that level, even before Christ left this world, he had made Peter his created, visible vicar on earth. There are some Latin words that every self-respecting Catholic should know. I have never told people, but I have the nerve to say it now. you don't learn some lesson, Lent is almost over. I'll give you to Pentecost Sunday. If you don't learn some basic Latin, even a dozen words, I mean it, I would recommend in your next confession, sure you know what priest you're going to, I confess not having learned the Latin that as a Catholic I'm supposed to know. What Latin word should we all know? Well, the word vicar means. Vicar comes from the Latin vice, V-I-C-E. Without a second thought, we speak of, well, a president and a vice president. In other words, the Bishop of Rome takes the place of, is second to, Christ, of course, is the rock. Now the invisible rock is Christ on earth today. Is Jesus Christ on earth today?
Yes.
A little more unanimous. However, on earth, Jesus has someone invisible for him. Who is, well, his vicar, his representative, his spokesman. After Christ's ascension into heaven, the Savior was and still is the invisible head, or if you wish, the invisible foundation of the church, no less than he was during his visible stay on earth. The key to understand Peter's role and that of his successors is the word visible. This church that Jesus established was no hierarchy of angels. It was no community of disembodied spirits. It was a society of human beings who would need a visible basis or foundation to which they could adhere. That is why when Luther and his so-called reformers rebelled against the Catholic Church in the 16th century, theologically, where the demonic logic said the church founded by Christ is an invisible society. Because if the admitted was a visible society, it has to have a visible head. In other words, the members of the church that Christ founded had to hear an audible, sensibly perceptible voice. They have to see these sensibly perceptible words expressed in written doctrines and laws. And the very tampering, oh, may God forgive those who are behind it. The very tampering with his one document, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, on which the Vicar of Christ tells us he depends for the future survival and growth of the Church. To tamper with that doctrine, you begin to see the crisis that we are in our Catholic Church especially, in a country like ours today. It was not for nothing that as far as Revelation records, Jesus wrote nothing, he himself, that he left to posterity. But since Christ wanted his church to be a visible, sensibly perceptible society, just as in any other human visible society, there must be someone visible, audible, who is in charge. We must take note of various biblical translations. Some modern English Bibles translate the Greek basileia as reign. No. R-E-I-G-N. My eye. It's kingdom. Reign, R-E-I-G-N, is an abstraction. The Church of Christ is no abstraction. It's a kingdom. Especially in our day, how necessary this is to stress that apart from the See of Peter, there is no certainty, no security, and no unity in Christianity. Amen. And we repeat. Apart from the See of Peter, there is no certainty, no security, and no unity in Christianity. No wonder, I think I've told you, by the end of the 16th century, the followers of Luther and Calvin, by actual count, had over 200 interpretations of Christ's words of the Last Supper. This is my body, this is my blood. A few examples from issues that are being so violently debated today. The priesthood is no mere function or ministry. It is a consecration that endows the one who receives it with the power of changing bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, and the power to forgive sins in Christ's name. The priesthood reserved only to man, since Christ had first decided in first century Palestine. Moreover, the religious life is no mere temporary commitment, but a lifetime dedication to follow Christ in the practice of actual poverty, sincere interior chastity, and a humble obedience to real flesh and blood superiors. That is why my Jesuit asked me, John, why do you do it? In Mexico for a week, talking to Mother Teresa's Missionaries of Charity. From Mexico, San Francisco, 4 days. Month or so before, I was in Russia and Poland. And now, by the end of this month, in Germany. How this Church of Christ needs men and women who have been taking the vows of chastity, poverty, and obedience, live them, and pay the price of celibacy, pay the price of obedience, and pay the price of honest to God poverty. So too the sacrament of marriage is a permanent and exclusive union of one man and one woman until death, not dissolvable by any power on earth, whether civil or ecclesiastical. And sins against chastity, like homosexuality, masturbation, fornication, are grave sins, and when fully consented to, deprive a person of the state of grace. These and similar issues have been decided by the See of Peter over the centuries. And for those who accept the Vicar of Christ as indeed Christ the Vicar or spokesman, There can be no doubt. Behind, I want to repeat and emphasize, behind such widespread, what a criminal word, dissent. It is no mere dissent. It is denial. Denial of what? Denial that Christ is the living God, or because He is God, He had the right and the power to appoint a man, and over the centuries men, who in His name would teach and lead the people of God. The real crisis in Christianity today is Christ's divinity. Once you believe that Christ is God, why shouldn't you believe that bread and wine become the living Christ? Why shouldn't you believe that a man, a bishop of Rome, and how it pained me to say it, the president of one of our largest Jesuit universities, shortly after the present Holy Father's election and Pope, in public, made just a nasty, dare I call it, Polish joke at the expense of the Vicar of Christ. We must beg. Beg our Lord that Catholics will rally behind the Vicar of Christ in these, what an easy adjective, difficult times. How well I know, for me, one of the most consoling passages in the whole Bible is the eighth beatitude. Blessed are you when they persecute you, calumniate you, speak all manner of evil against you because of me. Thanks, Lord. Thanks, Lord. It makes sense to me of what is in so many ways an insane world. Nowhere else can we find the certitude of possessing the truth, all the security that we are doing God's will. We can be united among ourselves as Christians on only one condition: to believe. There's only one center of unity in the world, and that is the Vicar of Christ. Peter is no rival to Christ. Having promised to make Peter the foundation of His church, our Lord went on to describe how strong, because of Peter, note that, the church would be, and what power it would have over the sons and daughters of men. And again, there's only one correct translation. Christ said, "The gates of hell." The word hell is in the revealed Greek. The gates of hell will not prevail against this church. But questioning on, with this I close. He told Peter, and through Peter his successors, they would have astounding power to judge. And the way they judged, heaven would confirm. The verse bind and loose stand for everything. Christ was telling Peter, and is telling Peter's successor today, whatever you mind, that is, whatever you declare is true, whatever you declare is forgiven, whatever you declare should be done, whatever you declare is God's will, whatever you declare is effective, whatever you declare is valid. In all of these, God ratifies the Pope's decision. Correspondingly, whatever you do on earth, whatever you declare is untrue, whatever you declare is not forgiven, whatever you say is forbidden, whatever you say is sinful, useless, wrong, or invalid, Christ saying, as God, I ratify. The following short prayer should be familiar, but it expresses all the sentiments that we should daily offer to God in these words, praying for his vigor on earth. I quote, O God, the shepherd and ruler of all the faithful, mercifully look upon your servant, the Bishop of Rome, whom you have chosen as chief pastor over your church. We ask you to grant him by word and example, so to lead those under his charge, they will reach everlasting life, together with the flock, committed to him, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And thank you for listening. Shall we close with a Latin prayer? In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio, et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Maria Mater Ecclesiae, ora pro nobis, in nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.